Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Appreciate you listening. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you. Ed Vitagliano is with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Or is it? Is it a good morning?
I think it is. So far, so good. So far, so good. Walker Wildman is absent today. Put him down for an absence. He is...
It's excused, though.
It's excused. He's traveling for American Family Association. We'll be with Dan Celia tonight in Columbus, Ohio. If you want information on that, go to the AFA Foundation page. AFA Foundation page. But
so the days of excused and unexcused absences.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an excused absence.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't require a doctor's notice because right. We know where he is. Brent Creeley's running the Faceboard for us today. Facebook, I should say. Did I say Faceboard?
Faceboard.
Well, good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Tim.
So you're running the board for our radio show.
Correct.
But you're also running the Facebook page Walker's absence.
That is correct.
And also he's running SnapFace for us. Right?
You're doing a SnapFace for us, too? Ed and I know we're pretty high-tech guys over here.
SnapFace.
Snap yeah. Face.
Yes, yeah. We're up and live streaming on the Facebook, Today's Issues Facebook page, and I'll be posting all the stories like Walker does to the Facebook page.
Okay, what about Instant Board?
Instaboard.
I don't have Instaboard.
You don't want an Instaboard?
No, I think that some of our listeners are experiencing Instaboard right now.
All right, well, we're not on Instaboard yet, people. So, all right, Steve Jordahl is with us as well.
Good morning,
Steve Jordahl.
I guess what I need to know is if Brent does a superior job here, does excused absence Walker have to fear for his job?
Brent's shaking his head.
No, I think Walker.
Walker's good.
Yeah, Brent. Okay. Brent will give the Facebook duties back to Walker when.
But
he
I have no doubt because I know Brent that they will be carried out well.
Today's Issues Facebook. We're live streaming there, and you comment on the program. One of these days, in the next few days, we are going to take questions via Facebook Live and answer them. Just whatever you want to ask, behind the scenes about the show, about AFR.
Should I bring my lawyer in? I'll get Abe to come in, and he can whisper in my ear every time someone asks a question.
Abe is not your lawyer.
Well, I can retain him. I got a dollar in my pocket. I might retain him for that day.
Abe's more than a dollar. I'll tell you that. Any lawyer's more than a dollar.
If you have a lawyer who just charges a dollar,
no,
run.
No,
all right. All right, Steve, what's in the news, my friend?
Good morning. We've got a lot of stuff in the news, a lot of stuff about the dossiers and kind of down news. Why don't we start with something a little more lighthearted?
I like it.
This is from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, Snowflake.
Snowflake.
One day we just need to play that whole song right now. I've never heard that whole song.
No, Jim Reeves, yeah. Okay. Rosie O'Donnell was talking. She's breaking her silence. She was talking to W Magazine. And in an interview with W Magazine, she was talking. She's in a new TV show, I guess, and it's a drama, not a comedy, because you know how funny she is.
Yeah.
You know how funny. Every time she speaks, I laugh.
Every time she speaks, it's drama.
Right. But she taped this program the day of the election when Donald Trump won, and it threw her for a loop. She had to retape all of her scenes in this first pilot show because she was so despondent. In fact, her exact quote that she said to the lady that was interviewing her on W Magazine is, "I seriously worry," and this is in the present tense now, "I seriously worry whether I personally will be able to live through Donald Trump's presidency and whether the nation will be able to live through it and survive."
Hmm. Oh, brother. Listen, the first thing, I understand people get emotional about these kind of things, but I cannot take Hollywood people seriously, when they live in a gated community, probably in a very nice house, she may have servants, who knows? And she's sitting there saying, I don't know whether I can live through it.
Yeah, I think.
Well, maybe she, try living in, down in a barrio or a slum somewhere.
Well, I think what she might be worried about, and I don't know, but she probably does live in the gated community. But what if Donald Trump was to kick out all of the illegal immigrants and send them back? In fact, he, according to her, he's probably going to kick out every Hispanic person in the whole country, citizen or not, doesn't matter. He's going to kick them all out.
That's
and
what
then,
she believes?
I'm sure. And then she'll have to vacuum her own carpets, and she just might not survive that.
Are you saying that only Hispanic people vacuum carpets?
I am saying.
I'm shocked.
That's a stereotype.
I'm saying that living in the gated community, that's. I'm trying to figure out why she's not going to survive. I don't see her as the type.
Because she's a snowflake.
To take her own life.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the definition of the snowflake.
Yeah, it is.
I can't survive.
Yeah, that's just, you know, aren't the people who voted for Hillary Clinton, aren't they having a shout out
at the moon.
Shout at the moon.
It's November 8th, isn't it?
It's on the anniversary.
On the anniversary of the election.
Of the election.
Are they just going to stop? What time of day is that?
Scream out loud.
Yell. I don't know if it's all day. There's Facebook. I've seen different events posted on Facebook where you can join the event, and some people are going to gather together. Some people are just going to walk out in their backyard and scream at the sky. Helpless scream.
I'm sorry, but even for I'm guessing the majority of people who voted for Hillary Clinton, they're just going to mock these people because that's just irrational.
You mean that
you're just screaming at the sky?
Well, yeah, they don't have anything else they can do. They feel helpless. They're like Rosie O'Donnell.
It's also known as barking at the moon. I'm just saying that's a sign of some issues.
Yeah. Howling at the moon. So we've got to, what day is that again?
November 8th.
So we're going to call that Snowflake Tuesday.
Snowflake Tuesday. It won't be a Tuesday this year.
Oh, it won't be Tuesday.
It was Tuesday last year. It'll be Wednesday this year.
Okay, Snowflake Wednesday.
Snowflake Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I like
that.
So
will you track that story?
I will.
See how many people scream at the...
I will.
Maybe you can get some sound.
That's great sound, isn't it?
I guess it's supposed to be to release their frustration and anger.
Yes.
Right.
Wow.
And hope they hang on till the presidency.
Well, when my kids did that to relieve their... When they were little, 2 and 3 years old, to relieve their frustration and anger, we put them in a corner or ignored them. So
is there a corner of the country we could put these people in?
Hey, now you're talking.
Don't think I hadn't thought of that one. My wife one day suggested, why don't we just put all these flaming liberals in one part of the country and put the conservatives in one part and see who survives after about 10 or 20 years. You know?
Yeah.
Because all liberal ideas, most liberal ideas, especially the secular progressive ideas, can only survive if they have a conservative country basically to do it in.
That's right.
Because those ideas don't work. Free medicine, example, universal health care doesn't work. You can't pay for it.
Not a country
unless
our size.
You have money.
Yeah.
And then you start taxing Rosie O'Donnell 90% of her income to pay for everybody's universal health care, then see how much she's for it.
Yeah.
Then she'll want to be illegally entering the conservative part of the country.
We'd have trouble with the
illegal immigration. Yeah.
Liberals trying
to be all colors.
No,
become,
wait. I've always been conservative. I promise you.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I'm one of you.
So anyway, what's next now that we passed the snowflake?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff happening in with this dossier. So
spell that, Steve?
It's D-O-S-S-I-E-R. It's a French word, dossier.
Dossier.
And it really, this falls under the Russia files.
Wow, we've got two of our best songs out of the way in the first.
Although I will say, Snowflake Files, I hate when we end the show with that because I've got that lame-o song stuck in my head for the afternoon. But now we've got the Russian, the Russian
national anthem.
So I'm glad he's happy, but I would kind of watch his work product for the next hour or two, Tim. If he's got the Russian national anthem playing, it might.
Well, it tempts me to collude.
I'm going. That's
if
what
I
I'm,
can find
that's
a Russian,
I'd
collude.
So the latest news is that we have different congressional investigations now going on into the Uranium One deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, now that it looks like this whole Russia investigation is boomeranging and going to be hitting the Democrats straight in the face, you know, this dossier that they went out and paid for, the DNC went out and paid for?
Yes.
It's looking more and more like who knew and what and when is what the questions now they're asking. It's really kind of beyond anybody's doubt that they, in fact, went and paid for this
dossier. To the tune of $8 or $9 million.
A lot of money.
$8 million.
That's a lot of vodka.
You know, I've been reading a lot of articles on this, and so some of these, I forget which article I read, but one this morning, I did not know this, that, you know, this all started with this Fusion GPS that was collecting information. It started with, at this point, heretofore unnamed Republican paying for the research on Donald Trump. My understanding is that at that point, there was no dossier. They were doing research. It was the dossier, though, is solely the result of this money paid for by the Clinton camp and the DNC. That's what I was reading this morning.
Right. And so what happened last night is that the Department of Justice lifted a gag order that had been placed on the inside informant, not the unnamed Republican that you just talked about.
Right.
This is an unnamed informant that the FBI was using to get scoop on this bribery, kickback, money laundering scheme that was going on when they were trying to sell 20% of the uranium that the United States produces through this Canadian company to the Russians. Now, here's the question I have. And in fact, Jesse Waters brought this up last night on The Five. He said, you had a Russian woman that came to Don Jr. This is the Natalia Valenskaya-Zevich.
Yes.
Okay.
If you ever can't pronounce it, just play the Russian music.
That's her name.
I think you botched that, Steve.
No. That was an accurate pronunciation.
That
I'm a journalist. Don't question. I do this for a living.
That sounded like a fumble to me.
Natalia Valenskaya. But anyway, Donald Trump Jr. had this meeting with her. And so Waters said, you had a Russian woman that came to Don Jr. She had nothing. No money changed hands. The Clintons actively sought dirt on Donald Trump, paid for it, and then lied about it. And then he says, when the Clintons do it, it's called opposition research. When Trump didn't do it, it's called collusion.
Yeah. It's Natalia Veselnitskaya.
That's a shortened name. That's what
Veselnitskaya.
You know, this is a big story. More than the uranium story. The uranium story last week was barely covered at all by the quote mainstream media, but this story is being covered by all the major news outlets, the mainstream media. I'm talking about the story involving the Clintons and the DNC paying. I can only go on news reports. You're seeing $8-9 million paid to a foreign agent, some guy from Britain.
He didn't get all the money. This is the Fusion GPS, right?
Yes.
But you know, I don't understand. I don't quite understand how all this works, because you do have quote opposition research done on all candidates, especially at a presidential level, where you know the other side's looking for dirt on the other candidate they can use against them to harm them, so that maybe that'll help them win.
I mean, I'll tell you what the difference is here.
Okay? Please tell me.
The difference is that here in the U.S., if you're going to do opposition research, you better use American dirt. You're going to find dirt on someone. You find American dirt. You don't go get into that Russian dirt.
Right.
Because that's going playing outside.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Here's my point. The reason this goes beyond that is because this is, first of all, paid for. This was not opposition research so much as it was trying to come up with something to slander and smear somebody. You know what I'm saying? The person of Donald Trump. And you're talking about millions of dollars paid. What I don't understand is how this works. Is this guy just a dossier? Is that what you called it? That's a big file.
It's a, yeah.
On
it's
somebody.
Like our Russian files or Snowflake files. Right?
And the files are supposed to be things that this person did that you can use against them.
Right.
And they just made stuff up on President Trump.
Well, they made stuff up, but they made stuff up in conjunction, it appears, with the Kremlin, who was either telling these people what to say or kind of winking and nodding as they said it.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. You talk about it being Russian dirt, and that's not good. And you said that the media is starting to report on this. Do you remember when they started to report on the
Donald
meeting
Jr.
between Donald Jr. and Velen?
In the Trump Tower during the campaign. Yeah, the Trump Tower, and this woman came and met with him.
This is a little compilation of what I was hearing back then. And the first person you're going to hear from is going to be former vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine.
And this is now what you're going to
set this up.
Yeah, this is what people were saying when the focus was on Donald Trump Jr.
Right.
When
having
the focus,
this one meeting with
one
this
meeting,
woman.
It turned out to be about adoption, not about anything on Trump. And then the rest of the voice you're going to hear are just kind of news types.
Okay.
But listen to this. I'm sorry, clip number one.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
All I'm saying is the facts reported in the New York Times article come very close, if not crossing the line, with respect to treason, if those facts are true. We need to find out what's true.
So Donald Trump Jr. Has basically admitted that he did take a meeting with a lawyer connected to the Russian government. And he did it for the purpose of trying to get dirt and opposition research on Hillary Clinton. Some think that it is not just illegal, but potentially treasonous.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
Yeah, it's treason. Donald Trump taking that meeting to get opposition research.
Donald Trump Jr.
Jr. taking, thank you, the meeting to get opposition research from someone who may have talked at, who had a Russian name, is treason.
Well, you thought I was kidding. Now, I did say it in a joking voice, but that is why it was considered to be beyond the pale. This is beyond just simply getting opposition research. They were going to a foreign country to get that opposition research.
Yeah, and that was the voice of the one saying this has gone beyond. That was the voice of Vice President candidate Tim Kaine, the senator from Virginia, making this accusation. He's the one that was using the word treason about Donald Trump Jr.'s scheduled meeting with this woman. It's nothing came of it other than the talk about adoption. Okay, so the point you're making, Steve, is well taken because, on the one side you have these Vice President of the Democrat, the Democratic Vice Presidential candidate, if that's the way you say it, and others in the mainstream media going after Donald Trump Jr. and this may be treason.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have that, which is on a scale of potential treasonous activities, probably a one. No, it's not even a one. It doesn't even register.
Yeah, because he wasn't even asking
for opposition
research.
It doesn't even register. It's a zero. It's a zero. Compared to what we now know about the Democrat National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign paying $8-9 million for this supposed dossier, it's not supposed, it was real, on President Trump is a nine, probably.
And so why isn't that treason?
Well, that's surprising. Yeah. I have not heard the word treason at all in the last couple of days.
Tim Kaine, they need to talk to
I know,
Tim
someone
Kaine.
Needs
here's
to.
Another just quick point to make in terms of why the media may now be covering this. I read this morning two New York Times journalists complaining about the Clinton campaign, saying they lied to us for a year. We tried to report on this story. New York Times.
Right.
And so I think they feel a sense of betrayal.
The New York Times reporters, very well-known liberal newspaper, complaining about their fellow liberals, the Clintons, lying to them. So that's out in the open now.
Playing them as suckers.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there is a congressional investigation going on, and one of my favorite congressmen, Trey Gowdy, is going to be heading up this. He's part of the House Oversight Committee. And when he was asked on Fox and Friends this morning about the Trump dossier and was it going to come into play, this is clip two.
What's most important to me is whether or not the world's premier law enforcement agency relied upon a piece of investigative work that would make the National Enquirer blush. That's what I want to know, whether or not the FBI relied upon it to launch an investigation and whether or not they relied upon it in court filing.
So I wonder, and we may not know this for a while, but the Robert Mueller investigating, the special counsel investigating the supposed or the, you know, the alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, the Russian government.
To affect the election.
Right. I wonder how much of their investigation has centered Robert Mueller's investigation on what was in this dossier.
Well, Robert Mueller,
to get it.
Robert Mueller was the director of the FBI at the time that this came about. The FBI that used this National Enquirer type thing. So he did, in a sense, be investigating himself. And in fact, Fox asked Gowdy about the possibility of another special counsel for this investigation. Clip three.
I'm not a human polygraph. I don't know what she believed, what she knew or did not know. I would find it pretty interesting if her campaign was making decisions at that level that she didn't know about. But I don't have anything to contradict her with other than her past.
She being Hillary Clinton, did she know about this?
Well, there's some people talking about maybe do we need a special counsel
to investigate
the special counsel?
That was a different clip. The one about the special counsel I didn't bring with me, but he said it doesn't rise to this level yet.
Or should Mueller recuse himself as the obsession did?
That is the question. Yeah.
This a lot of this goes back to, and I can understand now even more so, why President Trump was so angry with Attorney General Jeff Sessions for recusing himself from this whole thing. Because all of this, on the other hand, maybe we would never have found out about this, I don't know. But this Robert Mueller stuff and all the things we've been talking about for months now all really kind of erupted because the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who I'm a big fan of, recused himself.
Right.
He's
trying to do the honorable thing.
He was, yeah. But I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite like this.
And the open secret in Washington is that the Justice Department, including the FBI, is just loaded with Democrats and anti-Trump people.
So if this thing goes, let's say this thing continues on and more comes out about the Clinton campaign and Hillary Clinton and all of that. What's ironic about this is all this comes out in the open because the Hillary campaign insisted on pressing the narrative that Trump colluded with the Russians and demanded, we got to get to the bottom of this. And when they get to the bottom of it, Hillary Clinton's down there.
I know.
At the bottom of the cesspool.
Oh, my word.
Ironic, isn't it?
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues. Hope you followed all that, folks. There are a lot of players, a lot of names that are being mentioned here, but the bottom line is that, the charge against President Trump that his campaign colluded with the Russians hasn't been proven.
Right.
Of course, they got a special prosecutor going after him, and maybe he thinks he can prove something. I'm talking about Robert Mueller. But there's been, it's just pretty flimsy and pretty lame. And President Trump said the other day, this is just a hoax, just an excuse because they lost the election, so they got to blame somebody other than the campaign or the candidate. They've got to blame The Russians.
And so our listeners, I want to encourage them before we come back from the break to memorize the name Natalia Veselnitskaya.
Yeah,
that right there.
Veselnitskaya.
We shall return with more of Today's Issues momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
and on Facebook.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Most of us respond to more than one name. My coworkers call me David. My daughters call me Daddy. My wife calls me Hun. You get the point. All those names are correct, but each of them has a unique meaning. And that's even more true when we look at the names Jesus assumes for himself. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man 13 times. It's a title that gets much of its significance in the Old Testament prophecies of Daniel. In chapter 7, it says, "Behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." Get daily insights into God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. College of the Ozarks realized there was a problem in America, a division between the 1% who serve in the military and the 99% who live the good life because of the 1%, because of the sacrifice of those who wear the uniform. So the Missouri Christian College launched a new program, a required course for every freshman. It's a class called Patriotic Education and Fitness. Students learn military customs, flag protocol, map reading, even marksmanship. President Jerry Davis says there's too much indifference towards the military, and he wants to fix that. What a wonderful concept, an institution of higher learning that teaches kids to love our country. Oh, by the way, College of the Ozarks also has a no pledge, no play policy. If the opposing team disrespects the national anthem, their athletes have been instructed to forfeit the game. How about that? I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Steve Jordahl. And we've been discussing the situation in Washington, D.C. and now we know that the Clinton campaign / the DNC, Democrat National Committee, paid for up to, being reported, $8 or $9 million for this dossier. Yeah, that too.
The dossier is the
If I'm paying $8 million, I want a dossier and a dossier.
You can call it whatever you want for that money.
I want both of them. Okay. Otherwise, you're not getting you're only getting $4 million.
There you go.
Okay. So they paid for it, but basically, to break that down in layman's terms, they're trying to find trash, garbage, sleaze on candidate Trump. That's what that was all about. And now that's been revealed in the news. Even the liberal news media is reporting this as fact.
Right.
And the fact that Clinton's lawyer lied for a year
to the media
that he had anything to do with that. To the media.
And an article I read.
Not only lied under oath, but he lied to the media.
Exactly.
I read something else this morning that said that the Clinton camp has been so smart about this is they get the lawyers to do stuff for them so that when the media asks for more information, they say, I can't, lawyer-client privilege.
Right.
They said that this is a brilliant move, and the lawyers say, I can't reveal any of this because it's...
Well, there's been a new charge filed, actually, with the Federal Elections Commission that they improperly labeled the money that they got, the DNC got, or spent on this as lawyer fees when it was really opposition research.
Well, one of the programs we have on the weekend is Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, and Jan joins us most every Thursday here to preview her upcoming program and talk about maybe something in the news that she's interested in. I don't know if she's interested in dossiers or anything like that. Jan, good morning to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What are you going to be talking about this weekend on Understanding the Times?
Oh, I talked to Dr. Robert Jeffress. We're going to talk about heaven. We got to have some kind of good news. And these days, that's about it.
Well, heaven's about the only good news. We're here. Yeah, Dr. Jeffers, we've had him on to talk about his new book. Yes, on heaven, absolutely. Jan, well, you heard us talking here. You want to comment on these stories in the news here on the Clintons and the DNC and all this?
Well, you know, how does corruption get any worse? I think we all think it reaches a level and going to stay there, and then the next day the stories get even worse. So I go back to the verse in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I tell you that Washington just seems to be filled with primarily people with a very, very dark heart. And I just think we need the gospel more prominently in that part of the world. And of course, we've got politicians all across the land, but it just seems like Washington is so broken. Can it ever be fixed? I'm beginning to doubt it.
Jan, this is Steve Jordahl calling. Speaking. I think I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sitting in a chair or doing something.
You're used to saying that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think the big concern from many people that are watching this is that all this investigation and everything will uncover a lot of stuff, but nobody will be held accountable for it, and there will be no justice done. What will it do?
Sign me up for that one.
What will it do to people who want to see this country be a beacon of justice and that justice is done? We've seen so often Mrs. Clinton in particular has escaped that kind of justice. That's got to be hard on a country.
Yeah. The left seems to always escape just about everything, going way back in history even. I mean, Richard Nixon didn't escape. I mean, all sorts of people on the right seem to get, sort of acquitted, if I can use that word. Bill Clinton didn't even have to pay a real huge price for his serious mistakes in the White House. But, yeah, the left just gets a pass every time, and I think that makes more righteous people just livid that the Clintons and others get a pass every time.
Well,
of course, the media cooperates.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here with this. You'll have congressional investigations, and you'll have, maybe Jeff Sessions, Department of Justice, will, and the FBI will get involved in this, at a serious level. But I think we're all skeptics here and doubters about, because the reason is that with the Clintons especially, there's so many powerful people that are around them, and so many people of influence and money and power. You mentioned the lawyer's excuse that they always seem to have. You know, President Clinton went to Russia and got paid $500,000 to speak one time.
Twice as usual.
Now listen. And I saw some guy on TV last night going, well, this was vetted and cleared by the State Department. And I'm going,
the State Department?
That's where his wife is the boss. And so the State Department vetted and cleared her husband to go speak in Russia. This doesn't even pass the smell test, as they say. I mean, and when you have a guy getting paid $500,000, twice his speaking.
His normal, typical speaking fee.
$500,000 in Russia to speak. And at the same time, they're brokering this uranium deal that she's involved in and the Obama administration's involved in to sell 20% of our uranium here in the U.S. to Russia. And you're going, you know, the mere appearance of that is on its face is unethical, to say the least. So, and yet they try to spin it, you know, every time as there's nothing wrong with this. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, but I mean, I would like to think something would happen from these two. With the Clintons, something happens this week, it'll happen. Something else will break next week, and you'll forget about what happened this week. It's kind of like President Clinton's affairs. You know, you got eight or nine of them going on, breaking news about eight or nine of them. You sort of get it's a blur.
Yeah,
you know, but. Let me ask you this. I know you're not a psychologist, nor did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night that I know of, Jan. But in terms of, and I'm not saying Republicans aren't capable of lying. We know they are. We're all human. We're all capable of doing bad things. We're all sinners, says the Bible. So we're not, you know, the lying, deception, and misdeeds are not the monopoly of the Democratic Party or even the Clintons. But what do you think, Jan, happens when you get people like the Clintons who seem so, do people get to feel invincible?
Well, I think they're under strong delusion, and I think they're under the reprobate mind of Romans 1. Because they're godless, and remember, it's very dangerous to be godless, there are consequences. And one of the things God does when he kind of washes his hands of somebody is he turns them over, according to Romans 1, I'm just citing that, he turns them over to a reprobate mind. They cannot think straight. Up is down, down is up, black is white, etc. And I think because the culture now in leadership on both sides of the aisle, but certainly the godless left, is they hate any thought about God. They cannot stand it. Now, there are consequences to that kind of thinking, and I think this is the result.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing the same thing, Jan, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
With the unveiling of, right. You know, we'd all had heard growing up about the casting couch and what was the exchanging of sexual favors in order to, you know, get a choice movie role. But now we are seeing the outright perversion and corruption that exists. I mean, to your point, Tim, every day there's a new revelation of somebody else who, committed egregious acts against women in Hollywood, and now the cover is being ripped off, and we're seeing, as you're saying, Jan, the result of godless hedonism,
right?
And it will be punished without repentance in the next life, but is sometimes punished in this life. And for Harvey Weinstein and some others, their sins are being exposed now.
There are consequences to this kind of behavior and attitude. There are obviously eternal consequences, but we have the consequences before that.
You know, the other thing, the other part of this is, I don't think for the godless left, you mentioned that, Jan, that terminology, the secular progressives, as they're sometimes called. For these people, all there is the here and now.
That's right.
And the power that they can acquire and the money that they can acquire in this life. Nothing else really matters.
That's right.
There is no day of reckoning in their mind. They may pretend and mouth some belief in God somewhere, but not really. Their lives don't reflect that whatsoever. So it's all the here and now. And if all this is, life is the here and now, then it is, I guess, it's the power you can acquire, the things you can acquire, the whatever it takes, you know, if you have to abuse, if you have people in any way, or you have to manipulate, or you have to lie, those things are just a part of getting what you want, because when you die, you know, you go back to being worm food.
Right.
You know, so that's their worldview. That's their world. I give you a prime example of that, and then Steve, I want you to comment. I'll give you a prime example here of why the secular left, again, I'm not saying that Republicans and conservatives can't lie, cheat, and steal, can't commit adultery, can't abuse women. That does happen. But I'm just saying most on the conservative right have people around them that recognize the standard of good moral,
if they don't live up to it.
Even if they don't live up to it, they have people. We have. I say we because I'm a part of that movement. We have people that recognize the standard. Okay. On the left, secular left, because they don't believe in God and they don't believe in the Ten Commandments and they don't know anybody who does, you can be Bill Clinton in the White House in the 90s.
Right.
You can have a intern come to the Oval Office and do things that we're not going to talk about here on Christian Radio. Right. We all know what happened there, and that was just one case. But here you had the most powerful man in the world taking advantage of his position. All right, have in the Oval Office with an intern. Well, what did the Democrats do to about that? What did they do? The day he was impeached, they had a rally. You remember this? This is a long time ago, but they had all the congressmen and senators, and they had a pep rally and a cheerleader.
Was that a funeral? That was
No. You're thinking about something different. This was at the White House the day of. In other words, they got together. They didn't say we're here to talk about the abuse of women, okay? Right. Which the Democrats claim that that's their one of their causes, right?
Right.
That feminist movement, true?
Right.
Okay. You're talking about something else. Yeah. You think about the Paul Wellstone funeral. I'm just saying that when you lose your fear of God, your fear of consequences, as Jan just said, it's a dangerous place to be. There will be consequences one day, but I'm just saying that if you lose that, I guarantee you, if Bill Clinton had been a Republican, the Republicans would have demanded his resignation or impeached him or kicked him out of office. That would not have been stood for, it's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, Jan, what time's your show air this weekend?
Let me think here. It
Come
is
on, Jan.
1 p.m. Saturday Central, noon Sunday Central time.
On one of our most popular weekend shows, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell. And Jan, God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for all you do, fellas.
Okay,
appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve, did you want to say something?
When it comes to Hollywood, the thought that crosses my mind is that Hollywood traffics in immorality. If you look at what they put on the screen, directors that like and producers like Harvey Weinstein, when they look at a script, they're reading immoral scenes. They interview actresses. Part of the interview process, how do you look without your clothes on? Because we're going to be filming you without your clothes on. So they're imagining, if not looking at this, and then they're watching the immoral act played out. And is it any wonder that when it comes to real life, they kind of blur the line?
Right. I want to talk about that. Alex McFarland is with us, Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Hello, folks. It's good to be here.
Hey, Alex, you hear what we're talking about here. You know, Hollywood and the entertainment industry, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, they celebrated the life of Hugh Hefner. You remember that?
I do.
That was a big deal. Hugh Hefner dies. What a contribution he made to human sexuality and
freedom of press.
He was brave, courageous.
Sexual freedom, broke down the mores of the prudes who controlled our country back then, the Christians, and supplanted it with, freedom and sexual freedom and those kinds of things.
And his whole empire was built on objectifying women.
Women. Yeah, in a sexual way, right?
Right.
Okay, so you got this going on, two or three, whenever he passed away 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then a week or two later, out comes the revelations about Harvey Weinstein, one of the top movie moguls in the world. And, well, you got 50 or 100 women accusing him of sexual assault and or abuse. And then Hollywood condemns. They condemn that, but they praise a man who set it all up philosophically.
Qualitatively, there's very little, if no difference, between Hugh Hefner and Harvey Weinstein. But this is just illustrative of the hypocrisy and
the left would say it's consensual. They would say the difference is what Hugh Hefner participated is consensual, free sex among adults. That's what they would say. That's their moral system.
Right, right. I remember there was a movie called Star 80, and I forget the name, but one of the gals who was a young lady who became one of the playmates, and she was raped and she was murdered, and they made a movie about it. Dorothy Stratton was her name. And she was just one, and I remember reading an article in the aftermath of Hugh Hefner's death that she was just one of many that went through the Playboy machine and were destroyed because of it, really. And let me say this, that few people ever did, and I wrote an op-ed that ran about Hugh Hefner's passing, few people did more to destroy the family, undermine the family, destroy marriages than the porn king Hugh Hefner.
Because what does the Playboy lifestyle represent?
Well, it represents selfishness. It represents no rules, no commitment, exploiting women, using women. Hedonism is the highest good. I mean, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to be over the top, but that philosophy is demonic. I mean, it really is, because God created marriage and the family, and yes, human sexuality. Human sexuality is a gift from God, not only for procreation, but for the joy of marriage.
Right.
But God gave us a context, an appropriate context to experience this, and it's called marriage.
But why does Hollywood, the entertainment industry, the secular, why do they celebrate? I know the answer to this, but why do they celebrate sexual liberation?
Well, I think in part it's because they've believed the lie that the pathway to happiness is to have no rules, no boundaries. I set my own rules. I call the shots. But really, that's not freedom. That's ultimately bondage.
Well, and I think it goes to the point you were making too, Tim, and that is that when this life is all you have, then the people who stand in the way of you experiencing it the way you want to experience it, those are the real enemies. So they would look at Christians and say, listen, this is all I've got. I want to live it any way I want. If I want to look at Playboy, I want to have affairs. And so you're standing in my way of that. You're the one that needs to be moved out of the way. And you're crimping my personal liberty. And I'll say something else, too, about the Hugh Hefner philosophy. And that is, I don't think it's any different. People are going to think I'm crazy when I say this. I don't think it's any different than white supremacists. Because anytime you appeal to the base nature of humanity, you're not only sinning against God, you're sinning against those people. So if you appeal to the base nature, the base sexual nature through the Playboy philosophy, or you appeal to maybe the racist nature. We all have a nature that wants to divide and separate. I'm better than you, right. and so I'm going to do that on the basis of race. You are appealing to the base nature of human beings. You're appealing to anger. You're appealing to all these kinds of things. Any enterprise that appeals to that base nature is sinning against God, but it's sinning against humanity. And so in my book, what Hugh Hefner did, even though it was consensual, it was appealing to the base nature, and I think we can all agree that that is corrupt and brings about terrible consequences.
You know, one question I always want to ask the people who say this, they're going to say this to us, who would be more liberal. They would say, well, I have a problem with anything people do sexually as long as it's consensual. Or as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. I always want to ask the question, why does it matter to you whether it's consensual, or why does it matter to you whether it hurts anybody else? Why is that your moral standard?
Right, sure.
Because you've drawn the line there.
Yeah.
Just like I've drawn, just like the Bible draws the line at sex outside of marriage is immoral.
Yeah, right.
What you're telling me is sex between unconsenting people is immoral. Where do you get where does that come from? I'm going to tell you where ours comes from. Ours comes from God.
It's an objective moral standard.
Through the Bible.
Let me throw this in.
And then Steve Durrell has been sitting patiently back
in
his Johnny Cash honoring outfit. He's got black pants, black shirt, black tie on. Is today Johnny Cash's birthday?
It's a gold tie. No, okay. It's because you're mine.
Okay. Oh, you're Oakland. He's also an Oakland Raiders fan,
yes,
so you got to go ahead.
Well, when I came in, you were talking about Bill Clinton. I well remember back in the 90s, people would say, well, what he does in his off time doesn't matter as long as he's a good president. I said, no, your morals do influence your leadership, and I'll tell you why. Because, look, if you will backstab your spouse, you'll betray anybody. Am I right? So what you do morally does influence the quality and the kind of leader you'll be. And that's why morality matters. And we are to have, we are to recognize objective moral boundaries, not set our own, I call the shots, but God has written on the heart of all people a knowledge of right and wrong.
God created a system that humanity works best in with regard to sexuality. It's within marriage. And I love the analogy of a car and a road. The designers built it with tires and a steering system so that it can follow the road wherever the road leads. And me saying I want to live my life however I want to live my life is like me saying I don't have to pay attention to roads or guardrails or anything else. I'm going to go in a straight line. It doesn't matter how the car was designed or what it was designed for. And no wonder lives end up in wrecks.
Yeah. In other words, we're just about to crash.
We're beyond that. We've crashed 100 times over, it seems.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wilmer with David Tagliano and Steve Jordahl from our One News Now department, and Dr. Alex McFarland is in studio with us today. We're delighted to have him with us. Are you and Brother Burt going to be here live in studio?
We are, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and it is great to be here live. And, hey, I've got to say this while we have a moment. I'm sure you all saw that Colin Kaepernick has gotten a $1 million book deal. and I'm sure that being the principled, consistent man of conviction he is, he will take a knee and refuse that book deal because it comes from evil America. And I'm sure...
Capitalism.
Yeah, and no doubt...
Are you serious? He did sign a $1 million
yes. book deal? Yes, but here's the thing. That publishing company was started by Caucasians that probably... are not, good people. They're probably racist. And I know that being the principled person
right.
he is,
right.
who doesn't really like America, I'm sure he'll take the high road and
this
refuse that book deal.
This is a different side of you, Alex. The
right.
cynical.
Thinking the best.
The cynical side. I haven't seen this side.
I want to see him take the high road and
right.
decline
right.
that book
there,
deal.
I see a column coming.
Okay.
Right there.
You got 90 seconds, Steve. Anything you wanted to throw in here?
I'm a big Alex McFarland fan.
Oh. Well, but now it's good to hear that you're going to be in 1 Corinthians 14. So yeah. you guys going to be talking about speaking in tongues?
3 o'clock hey. Central is Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I in the Bible every day.
This is going to be one of those things where when tongues comes up, Brother Bert's going to say, Alex, to handle that question.
Oh, man.
And we're back after this.
Yeah, more of this. All right. So, do I hear the music yet?
No,
it's just funny how Bert's not there when the role of women in the church comes up.
he's on the road, you mean?
Or infant baptism.
Yeah.
Or
any of those other easily answered
right. I'm just
issues.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Once saved, always saved. Bert's not never there.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
The rumor.
Bert is there with Alex. They take on that. They take on all issues.
Yeah.
And we do. And we take live calls. And we had a man come to Christ live on the air.
Yeah, tell us about that.
A guy called, a wonderful man called, and there was a lot of emotion in his voice. And he said, listen, I've been listening to preachers, and I'm really searching, and he began to cry, and he said, I want to know how to go to heaven when I die. We share the gospel.
Wow.
He prayed the sinner's prayer. We
wrote right there on the radio.
Yeah. We got a slew of emails from people. In fact, one listener said, I had to pull over. I was just so overcome with emotion hearing that man accept Christ.
Do we have that posted somewhere, that call? We need to do that.
Brent Creeley has it.
Because I want to hear that. I didn't get to hear it.
I'd love to, too.
It really was very moving. And I just want to say to the people that listen to Exploring the Word, we love you. It means so much to us. We get emails every single day. Bert and I we're so grateful
Amen.
For the chance to be in the Word of God and touch the lives of people.
Yeah. Join Brother Bert Harper and Brother Alex McFarland this afternoon at 3:05 Central Time and listen to their program. It's Monday through Friday. It's in the middle of the afternoon. If politics isn't your thing... current events, you'd rather hear something more scripturally based, although those things are scripturally based when you look at them through a Christian worldview lens. But if you want to just soak into the Word
talk
of God,
Bible.
Talk Bible, then join Alex and Bert in the afternoon.
Someone needs to invent a TiVo for radio so that I can record all the stuff that I miss when I'm working.
It's called podcasts, Steve.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have podcasts for all our shows, right? All our talk shows.
I almost thought you said Tebow back there.
TiVo. Tim Tebow.
I thought he's. Yeah. Well, you said TiVo.
TiVo. I just,
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. We shall return after the news. 5 minutes of news and then more of Today's Issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.